On today's Part of My Take, we have
that burp get in.
On today's Part of My Take, we have Coach Brett Bielema and college football writer Andy Staples. We break down the entire national championship game, and we have a full recap of the wild card weekend, who's back of the week, and some good segments. Before we get to all that, Felix Gray, my friends at Felix Gray, I wear Felix Gray. What are Felix Gray? Felix Gray's lenses are specially designed to filter blue light and eliminate glare from screens, which are the two main culprits behind digital eye strain. Don't be a sucker. Dryness, migraines, and blurry vision are just a few of the reasons you need to protect your eyes. Now you can look great doing it with a pair of computer glasses from Felix Gray. Felix Gray's frames are handcrafted from premium Italian acetate. This is the same stuff Versace uses. Seriously, they look great. Felix Gray glasses are available in both non-prescription and reading lenses. But I hear prescriptions coming soon. Like I said, I wear them when I have a long day looking at the computer. I put on my Felix Grays, and I feel instantly better. Give your eyes the break they deserve. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/PMT to try a pair of Felix Gray computer glasses and discover a smarter way to work. That's felixgrayglasses.com/PMT. felixgrayglasses.com/PMT. Let's go. Boy!
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by SeatGeek. Today is Monday, January 8th, Wild Card Weekend. We start in Kansas City, where Clay Travis Kelce tried to dominate Nashville, but unfortunately ended up wandering around making little to no sense. Derrick Henry Ford drove behind his offensive assembly line, and Candy Reid was snickering in the first half, but wasn't looking so smarties after the fourth quarter as the Chiefs got whatchamacallit,
their ass kicked, boom.
Marcus Luttrell Mariota and the Titans are the lone survivor from this slobber knocker, and let me be the first to say congratulations to John Gruden on his head coaching job with the Raiders. Titans 22, Chiefs 21.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Go down, Falcons, way down to the Rams' land. Tell old Farrell Cooper to let my footballs go. Dr. Dan Quinn, medicine woman, had all the antidotes to an up-and-down season with a dominant defensive performance on the slip-and-slide field of the Coliseum. Sean Connery McVay was unable to defend The Rock. But his arrow is pointing up on this Rams team, and this won't be the last you hear from these kids. They've got a roster so young in L.A. that the only thing that'll stop it is if Hugh Grant tries to fuck it. Falcons 26, Rams 13.
Some spread. Bills traveled down from Lake Erie, but they didn't count on the Blake effect wins. The greatest dual threat quarterback, Blake Vic Bortles, had the Buffalo defense in fits all Sunday afternoon. Leonardo DiCaprio Fournette played Catch Me If You Can, and it looks like Bills Mafia will spend a long, cold offseason eating off the floor, as they're not a single intact table in Western New York. One last time, Teach.
No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
We now kick it to my colleague, who is doing Sunday Night Countdown tonight, the weenie himself, Mike Greenberg.
Thanks, Boom. The Panthers-Saints game recap is brought to you by Christian McCaffrey Mingle. If you want to go along with your love life, go to Christian McCaffrey Mingle and put in promo code Mike. The game recap is also brought to you by Ted Seagram's Gin. Seagram's for that smooth taste that won't fall out of your hands. Luke Kuechly's motor was so high, he should go to the Advanced Auto Parts and get his oil changed with promo code GREENY. That's G-R-E-E-N-Y. Alvin Kamara's pad level was so low, he was riding the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Finally, this recap was brought to you by my wife and my new morning show, Mike. It's just called Mike, starring me, Mike. No other Mike, just one Mike, me, Mike Greenberg, coming spring 2020. Saints 31, Panthers 26.
All right. Wild card weekend. Mike Greenberg actually was doing Sunday Night Countdown.
He did primetime.
Primetime. So we thought we'd throw it in there.
Just a spit in Chris Berman's face.
So, wild card weekend. A wild, wild card weekend. Let's do it. We're going to go chronological order, talk about all these games.
Hit it.
First up, Titans Chiefs. I would like for all Titans fans listening to this right now to say thank you to me because I finally motivated the Titans to play a good half of football.
Well, we've been very anti-Titans over the last couple weeks. Well, I'll change that. We've been anti-Mike Mularkey because he's boring and he invented exotic Smash Mouth football, which is just like
power of Smash Mouth.
You get drunk.
Speed Smash Mouth.
You get drunk and then you call running plays.
Yeah,
that's where.
But you do it fast.
Yes. With a lot of pace.
So another. Like all-time Chiefs melt. This is how long Andy Reid's been. I actually think Andy Reid's one of the best coaches in the NFL, but how long he's been coaching in the NFL that this like meltdown didn't even register on like the Andy Reid meltdown scale.
No, it was relatively boring.
It was kind of like slow death where you're like, okay, they're probably just going to lose this game.
He didn't waste a timeout in like a humorous manner, so it wasn't like, it doesn't go in the pantheon of bad Andy Reid playoff losses, but Andy really, I think he actually has it all figured out better than most. Which is, why would you want to work for 4 more weeks?
Yeah,
like true. Just lose in the first round. You made the playoffs.
Go somewhere warm.
You got
warm.
That feather in your cap.
Mm-hmm.
Go re-up on your selection of Panama. What is it, with Tommy Bahama shirts.
Yeah, you're probably going to lose to the Patriots, so why not even, don't even bother.
Exactly, yeah. Just take an extended vacation and go into hibernation. That's what he does.
This game, it's a different game if Travis Kelce stays healthy. I mean, he got knocked out in what was the first or second quarter.
Yes.
He's like the one guy the Chiefs can't lose because he's their game changer, but I will say, Marcus Mariota impressed me. That's the guy I thought I like believe in. That's the guy who I've, whenever someone says Jameis Winston versus Marcus Mariota, my answer is always Marcus Mariota. But that was a great performance, and I don't know why Derrick Henry hasn't been their like feature. I mean, I know.
Oh, he's good. Yeah.
I know that what's his name is hurt
DeMarco
now.
Murray.
Is hurt now, but Derrick Henry's fucking good.
Yeah, Derrick Henry runs like a brick wall. It's crazy. Like he'll just run you the fuck over.
He's so fast. He's so big.
Yeah. He's awesome to watch. That was kind of a shot at Tom Brady, the way that Marcus Mariota was able to throw and catch the ball
at the same time. Awesome play.
Was Giselle watching that?
Was she?
Yeah.
Do you think she watched that, Hank?
No.
He can't throw and catch the ball.
He probably doesn't even know.
Maybe
about,
maybe
like,
if he tried, he could do it.
Yeah.
So that's very sad.
This game also proved that the best way to win a game is just go on one of those like 10-minute drives that just sucks the life out of the whole game. Because the whole game changed when the Titans started the second half. And like, we're just going to have the ball for the entire third quarter. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoops, this is a game now. This came out of nowhere.
You know what it did? It took the crowd out of it.
Yes, it did.
That Kansas City, the Arrowhead crowd. I'm upset that we don't get like an entire postseason of Kansas City fans and Seattle fans going back and forth at each other claiming who has the real decibel title of the loudest place.
My question to you, two questions. One is, how many points will the Titans lose to the Patriots by?
Zero. It's going to be 0-40.
Okay.
Yeah, so 40 points.
And how many first-round picks is Alex Smith going to get in a trade?
Ooh, is he a free agent, though?
No, but they're going to try. Is he a free agent this year?
I'm not sure. Let's check that out.
I mean, they're going to try to trade him if he's not a free agent, right? Like, they have to move on. It's one of those things where Alex Smith is not bad, but you keep doing the same thing over and over, and you're like, we got to do something different.
And Pat Mahomes, whenever he gets in, he always has one throw a game that gives you just like a little rush of blood to your dick. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
That's
a little.
That is football sex.
A little bit of extra pee in that pee hole.
He's a free agent next year.
Extra
pee
in the ball.
He's
a free agent. 2019.
In 2019. Okay. So they will try
they
to
will
trade
try
him.
They will try to trade him. They'll trade him to the Vikings. They'll get another quarterback that can't throw the ball.
I would actually be, the Vikings just keep getting them all, and hopefully all of them stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we had the Rams-Falcons. I love a game where the field becomes the story.
Mm-hmm.
We had it, you know, with RG3. Anytime there's a playoff game at Soldier Field in Chicago, where everyone's just like,
"Play football on this?"
Yeah, like how this the best is. This is the National Football League. How can you let them play on this kind of field? It was a shitty field, and guys were slipping everywhere.
Bad sports town.
But this also proved like everything we basically said, where the Falcons are still really fucking good when they just like kind of you know, put it all together a little bit, and the Rams were too young for the bright lights.
The moment was too big for
fumbles,
them. The kids,
Darryl Cooper, it was just too much.
My favorite is people who are blaming Sean McVay for it, for like Darryl Cooper fumbling the ball.
Yeah, like what are you going to do?
I think the Rams are going to be really good,
really
good for like the next 5 years.
Really, really
Jared
good.
Jared Goff, elite quarterback.
Yes.
Goff and off.
I'm ready
Goff
for that.
And off.
But
like
the Falcons now go to Philly. They're favorites against the one-seeded Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, this is exactly what everyone's been saying for the Falcons the entire year. Like, they could put it all together. They have all the talent. Their defense is flying around. I don't know. Matt Ryan, Matty Ice.
You don't believe in Big Dick Nick at home?
Yeah.
I do.
Has Matt Ryan finally shook off the Super Bowl hangover?
Well, that's what we were talking about last time. He should lose another Super Bowl.
Yeah, hair of the dog. Harder.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Harder. Much harder.
Much harder.
I didn't appreciate you saying Julio Jones was out. On Twitter before the game.
Oh, yeah.
You also
that's
got cucked by Chaps.
That's my new thing. Yeah. How did I get cucked by Chaps?
He did it like a half hour before.
Oh,
you.
Really? I didn't see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, but he also, who else did he do? He did a couple guys and he was getting everyone.
Oh, I've got some hot ones. I've got Matt Ryan is out for this weekend's game against the Eagles with turf toe.
Mm.
That tasty number was from 2009. I'll be putting that out later.
Put that one out.
Yeah.
Okay. Get ready for that one.
Ooh,
the worst is the people actually bet it.
Yes.
Like someone replied.
I did.
I was stunned. I was like, oh, I was like, I wonder why he's out. And I was watching the game. I was like, wait a second, and then I went back and looked. I was like, fuck you, Peter.
I checked off my New Year's resolution box. I did one of those quote tweet this with XYZ, and I'll tell you, I immediately regretted my
what happened.
To
what
do
was
that.
It?
It was just basically a bunch of people quote tweeting my tweet, and I just wasn't prepared to look through my mentions tab on that.
What was the question?
It also didn't go viral. So
yeah,
what was the question?
It went viral in my own mind.
In your world,
in my
it
mind,
went viral.
It went
in your
viral.
Mentions, it was viral.
Yes, exactly.
It was the most talked about thing in PFT's mentions.
There. It was like, how would you die if you got paid $100 million to go move to Las Vegas and coach the Raiders or something like that?
Oh, okay.
I would die pretty quickly, I think.
Probably maybe like 4 months.
Yeah, well, that's
football
generous.
Season.
Yeah,
yeah. So whenever soon as it comes, I owe my New Year's resolution like 15 or 20 crunches. So you're
collecting debt on
that? Yeah, I probably owe some interest on
interest
those.
Interest rate.
But
that's
fine. The best game of the weekend, the Jaguars versus the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let's just get it out in the open right now because I know there was a lot of Blake Bortles hate going around the internet. If you listened to the game, if you watched the game, it was windy.
It was so windy. It was like 3 miles,
sometimes the gusts were 5 to 7.
5 mile per hour
winds.
Tough
to throw in that wind.
Uh-huh.
So go ahead and throw your hate out there, but just know it's probably going to blow like a little bit to the right and miss your receiver.
It's going to sail.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, he was not only missing receivers, he was also missing cornerbacks.
Yes.
So they didn't get any interceptions.
Yes.
So, I thought Blake played well. He had 88 yards rushing, 87 yards passing.
He was on fire running.
Very balanced attack out of Blake. You don't want to be too reliant on the pass if you're quarterback.
Yeah.
You want to keep the defense on their heels a little bit.
This was the greatest snap game of all time because I fell asleep in like the end of the first quarter and the Bills were on their own 30 and I woke up and it was like halfway through the second quarter and the Bills were on their own 30.
They're still there.
It was like, wait, okay.
Yeah.
I time traveled like where I just slept, but I didn't lose any time. It was basically like daylight savings.
It was like Groundhog's Day, except Bill Murray wakes up and it's always 3rd and 7.
Yeah. And you knew that the minute there was a touchdown, the game was going to be over.
Whoever scores first.
We had the Nathan Peterman, though, the roller coaster where he came in for one play. He was in for a couple plays, but the first play where he got the first down, he looked confused with just the snap of the ball.
Uh-huh.
Like the ball being snapped to him confused
him. He's like,
why
is this in my
hand? Yeah, what the hell's going on? Are we playing hot potato?
I'm on the sidelines usually.
And then he ran for the first down and then fumbled for good measure out of bounds.
Uh-huh. And I'll tell you, the scramble that he had for the first down was the slowest run I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes.
He didn't know like how to, he looked like a horse learning how to stand up on ice for the first time. And then we had Tony Romo. God bless him. He was just
he's the worst.
He is the absolute worst human being. He was trying to like dull his criticism of Blake Bortles, but he was so mad at Blake for missing easy throws. And I mean, you got to hand it to Tony. He's had a long sustained history of postseason success. So he is the one to make all those criticisms.
Do you think that Romophobia is starting to grow on the internet?
Yes,
because we're initial Romophobes.
Yeah, big time.
And he does give some good like analysis. He'll sprinkle in some things that you don't usually see, and Phil Sims would never get. But his fucking replays analysis, first of all, he's a snitch. He snitches on the fucking game. He's like, well, we got to check this one, Jim. And then he goes, oh, he's going to, and it's right here. He fumbles the ball just a little bit.
The ball hit the ground. I told you. Look, he stepped out of bounds.
He makes all these noises.
Mr. Official.
Yeah, and he does it, and he announces it in slow-mo. He's like, he's got, it's a catch right here, and then it's, I don't know, Jim. And then it's always, I don't know, Jim. And then he's wrong. Mm-hmm. So just chill out with the replays, Tony.
Yeah, Tony, get on. You know what? This was like the perfect game for Tony because he had Tyrod didn't play well.
Mm-hmm.
Blake didn't play well.
It was a
and so really, everybody watching.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Blake
it
played,
was wind.
Blake played efficiently.
We talked about the wind.
Blake was, had a
we
very,
discussed the wind.
Blake had a very efficient game at quarterback.
A win is a win.
But Tony was the whole time he just wanted to be on the field.
Yes, because he was probably thinking that if I was the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars and there was no wind, I'd win this game.
By the way,
guess what? That, Blake won it in wind.
Blake, yeah, Blake put the team on his back.
Yes,
on my motherfucking back.
The scene too, just the Bills fans and the Jags fans, like. Just the meshing of like the teal hot dogs and the and the Bills fans going through tables, it was a beautiful sight.
Yeah,
I already missed that game. It was and we predicted exactly how it was going to go. It was so bad that it became good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it became one of those like running jokes on Twitter where everyone towards the second half was like, "Whoa, this is must watch TV." Yeah.
It was great like seeing the Jaguars fans and the Bills fans in the parking lot just basically doing the Spider-Man meme like, "Huh?
Yeah.
You,
oh
me?
Shit.
We're
you?
Me?
Yeah.
We're me? Like a you're Jaguars
Southern,
fan
you're northern
yeah,
you?
It's just like a Bills fan with a suntan."
Yeah. So, sorry to Bills Mafia. I think they kind of expected not to win that game. I mean,
they're just happy to be there.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, the drought's over. I did have one Bills fan chirp me being like, what time do the Bears play this year?
Ooh.
I was like, what?
That's pretty good.
You guys didn't make the playoffs for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
but they've made it now. So I guess they're hot, right? By the way, the Jags going up to Pittsburgh, that's going to be one of those games where everyone replays the Jags beating them in the first time, and then like it's going to go completely different.
Throw, like 35 points.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, actually, like the Jaguars' defense is
so good.
One of the best defenses I've seen in like the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They are really, really good, and they've got a lot of young guys.
Yeah.
Did you see Coughlin up in the booth?
Oh yeah,
doing a major football guy move. They just scored a touchdown, and Shad Khan started doing
his
little,
Tony Khan, his son.
Oh, Tony Khan. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Tony Khan started to do the little
he humped.
Yeah, when the Bortles are thick, that Bortles thick.
And just then a little dry hump out there.
And then he saw Tom Coughlin next to him, like taking a note.
Yeah.
He's like, we scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't know what he possibly could have been writing down.
Yeah, we scored a touchdown, and Tony Khan's thrusts are not deep enough.
And remind Sheila to pick up Metamucil later.
Yes. Final game, Saints-Panthers. Good game. Panthers, like both these teams, it felt like one of those games where the winner of this game could still like is going to go on a run.
Yeah.
Because they both are really good teams. I still don't understand what Sean Payton was doing going for it on fourth and
I like it.
One.
I like it.
At the 50-yard line. He out-riverboated Riverboat Ron.
Riverboat Sean.
Yeah. And Cam Newton, the guy gets just fucking crushed.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the Shaq. Remember when Shaq used to get fouled all the time, but because he was so big?
Yeah.
I was like, Shaq doesn't get fouled that hard. Cam gets smoked, mm-hmm. and because he's such a big human being, it doesn't really kind of register, but every now and then it gets one. Like, he got that one up the middle where it was just, holy shit,
how's
this guy still standing?
They decided not to block for him
yeah.
whatsoever. And then he got poked in the eye. Well, they said my new favorite euphemism for a massive concussion is he got poked in the eye.
Yes.
So Cam got poked in the eye, and then he got poked in the eye so hard that he was, like, dizzy and vomiting.
That happened.
And seeing quadruple.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and he couldn't.
His pupils
he
were dilated. His other pupil was dilated.
He couldn't count backwards by sevens anymore.
Yeah.
That's how badly his eye was scratched.
That's a bad poke in the eye.
Yeah, and so they put him in the tent for a little bit, and then they're like, no, it's just a scratched cornea.
Third leg Greg is back, by the way.
Yeah.
He had an awesome fucking game. I loved seeing that because I don't want Greg. Greg Olson's one of those guys that when he retires, everyone's going to be like, you look back and not appreciate how good he was.
Mm-hmm. And now we've got Saints-Vikings next week. Which
that's the best game of the weekend.
Big boner
by
game.
Far.
That
by
is the,
far.
The boner of the week.
Yes.
And that, well, we're on a collision course right now. It's not going to happen this weekend, but we are on a collision course for the AFC Championship game to be Jags-Titans.
Ooh, third time.
Played on Thursday.
Yeah, it's a rubber match.
Yeah.
1-1.
Yeah, you can't beat the Jaguars three times in a year. It's impossible.
Yes, exactly. The Saints-Vikings will also be fun because we might get the Adrian Peterson death stare to Sean Payton, the replay.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was week one.
That's a really good
yeah.
one.
Yeah, and that's another one where everyone's going to be like, well, the Vikings beat the Saints week one, so we can take everything we need to know about that.
That makes me feel really old that was this season. That seems like it was 10 years
ago. You know
ago.
How old you are?
Want to feel old?
Saints-Vikings was this year.
Grayson Allen was watching Saints-Vikings when Adrian Peterson was on the team from his dorm.
Perry Ellis was still at Kansas when Saints Vikings played week one.
Excited for another week of Manti Te'o girlfriend jokes.
Yes. Let's get enough of those. All right, let's get to our Who's Back. Who's Back of the Week. Hank, why don't you get going?
My Who's Back of the Week, I have a couple. My first one, in honor of the Who's Back of the Week segment, is Tiger Woods.
Ooh, okay.
Named after him.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but he is generating ball speeds of 185 miles per hour with his new driver.
Is that a lot? That sounds like a lot.
If he was on tour right now, it'd be third highest on tour.
It sounds like a fake stack.
Yeah, what's the exit velocity on there? What's the exit angle? The launch angle? Yeah.
I don't know. I just
How's his chase
stack.
Rate? Does
I
he
saw
ever...
that stat and was like, oh my God.
I'd like to get a Perkins waitress to verify the ball speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just put a little meter on her thighs.
Yeah, just so we can figure it out. Yeah. Well, I want a second opinion.
And then my other Who's Back via TMZ is shorts.
Ooh.
So they wrote an article that said Odell Beckham hits LA nightclub ... in shorts.
Wow. Yeah, you never know when a boat's going to break out.
That's
got to
be
ready
the best
with a swimsuit.
That's going to be the best part about being famous. Like, there's a lot of cool parts about being famous, but being able to just wear whatever you want and not have to deal with you can't come in here, sir. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm Odell Beckham.
Yeah,
I can wear whatever I want.
Sweatpants falls in that category, right? Yeah. Odell could wear sweatpants out.
I was at a bar
sweatpants. Plaxico Burst.
I couldn't get into a bar because I was wearing a jumpsuit.
I was in a bar in sweatpants. I just felt like everyone was staring at me. Mm-hmm. Like, look at this fucking ass.
No, I usually think it's like, look at this fucking king.
Yeah, he does.
So comfortable.
Give a fuck.
Yeah, that's
probably,
right.
Probably got a diaper on.
Yeah.
Probably didn't do his crunches today.
Dude, I'm a hard weekend away from wearing a diaper.
Yeah.
I'm getting close.
I understand. I mean, we have Brett Bielema coming up. I understand why coaches might gain a little weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to be in a diet while wearing a jumpsuit.
Sweatpants.
It's just comfort all the time.
Sweatpants, mm-hmm. Diaper. Basically, I want to live my life like an Alzheimer's patient.
How is your diet going?
It's going well. Today was my first cheat day. I didn't cheat that bad.
What'd you eat? You had pizza.
I had pizza. And 3 donuts. So, but it went pretty well. The best part of jumpsuit January is doing the if you have to shower in the middle of the day, so you wear a jumpsuit, shower, then go back into a jumpsuit.
Yeah,
that feels really good.
What's really nice about that is you don't have to worry about your outfit. You just change T-shirt and underwear.
Yes,
and then you put the same jumpsuit on.
Sometimes
the
you
underwear.
Don't have to change.
You
those.
Turn the underwear inside
those,
out.
Yeah, those are optional changes.
Yeah.
Is that it, Hank?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, my Who's Back of the weeks
good
are.
Job, Hank. Thanks.
Good job, Hank.
Great job, Hank.
Thanks.
The SEC's back. We all know the SEC's back, so don't tell me about it anymore. We get it. They're back.
Not really, but they didn't win the most bowls.
Also, bologna sandwiches are back.
Oh.
Doug Marrone is chomping down on some bologna tonight
to
celebrate. He went out. He got the premium cut
to
treat himself to a little
top
shelf bologna.
He went to the finest Italian restaurant and said, can I have some bologna and a piece of Italian bread?
Publix
needs it, sir.
So everyone in Florida talks about how great Publix is.
Yeah.
Publix needs to make like a Doug Marrone bologna sandwich or something like that that's just primo bologna, mayo, and white bread, and that's it.
I cannot believe Florida gets a bad rap when the thing that people, tout is their grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a supermarket that has everything.
Pre-made sandwiches.
Like every other supermarket.
Imagine that.
Yeah,
imagine that.
Yeah. Imagine living in a world where you can go to a supermarket with everything.
It's basically sheets without a gas pump.
God
That's what
it.
You get there. My other Who's Back of the Week is Coach K.
Yes.
So Coach K is the Dukies have been getting smoked recently.
Ooh.
They had a bad loss to NC State. Who else beat them?
BC. Beat him a couple
BC.
Weeks ago.
So Coach K is at the point where he's going to start making up body parts to fake injuries on now.
He's going to. It would be a real shame if there was some ice in North. I know we had the nuclear bomb or whatever.
Yeah, the cyclone bomb.
Cyclone bomb. It would be a real shame if there was ice in Durham, North Carolina this week and Coach K just happened to slip walking out of his house. You know?
Real,
oh,
real
he's going to have to sit out a couple games, guys.
Teach these youngsters a lesson.
Yeah, really? Oh, we don't think we have a national championship team? Ow, my back.
Ow, I sprained both my MCLs.
Oh, man. I got to go to Puerto Rico where the number one recruit happens to go to high school to get this fixed. Is that it?
That's it. Those are my three Who's Backs.
Okay, my Who's Back. I have two. First is O.J. Simpson is back.
In
the juice is back. He was he at the game or was he just at a Bills ball?
No,
in Vegas.
He was in Vegas, but he was dressed up. It was like a Bills watch party.
Got it.
I guess you can now, like, O.J.'s reached the point in his life where they think that he's harmless enough to, like, sell public speaking events to.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got over that PR hiccup of the whole double murder thing.
Yeah.
But now it's like people will spend money to hang out with O.J. and hopefully not get killed by him.
Hey, I mean, OJ's probably just walking around. Like, there's enough people in their, early 20s that just have no idea They're like, oh, that's a famous person. They don't realize
we don't know why.
Why he's really, really famous.
OJ's gonna reach the point where he's gonna be like a social media rock star, where he gets paid to sell like fit tea.
Oh man, him on
Instagram.
Oh, yeah, if he just OJ's, you wake up and OJ's like, I'm having my nice smoothie with fit tea and
acai
then,
berries. Yeah, and fitness tea that'll make you shit.
Yeah, power 93 workout and like it's got like he's got the booty shorts on with the logos and he's taking the shot where he's like pouring his fit tea
with one glove.
With one glove and then his booty's popping. Yeah. He's just got ads everywhere. I love how the Instagram models have become like new NASCAR drivers.
Oh yeah, slap a logo on
it. They take pictures and there's like 16 logos in the picture. Mm-hmm. It's like there's the tea, there's the cup, there's the booty shorts, there's the fucking top that they're wearing. It's that there's a hat. It's insane.
I just want to say that OJ would have been so fucked if social media existed in like 1994. Because OJ, he would have had that Twitter account popping.
He would have been live periscoping.
He would have had the IG. Yeah, he would have. Yeah, it would have been hard to have an alibi set up.
Shit. Yeah. Hey, I would love to have OJ on Twitter.
Here's a fun joke.
Okay, wait. Hold on.
Okay, ready?
Okay, go.
What's OJ Simpson's email address?
What?
//escape.
That's actually a real old school joke, Hank. You don't even know that.
Hank probably thinks they're just
like an elementary
right
school joke. It's a good one. That's an oldie but a goodie.
Why'd you tell him? He thought that I was like a genius.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Hey, Hank.
I just made it up.
Speaking of which, you know who else is back? Geniuses. So Donald Trump, maybe my favorite tweets ever. Uh-huh. did you guys read this?
Yes.
You see this? You hear about this? Uh-huh. It's okay to come out as a genius now. Donald Trump said, actually, throughout my life, my two greatest assets have been stability and being, like, really smart. And he said he went from a highly successful businessman to a top TV star to president of the United States. I think that would qualify me as not smart, but genius.
Yep.
And a very stable genius at that. So, as geniuses ourselves, it's okay now to say that we're geniuses.
Thank you for being brave and making it okay for me to finally admit that I'm a genius.
I'm like a genius at some things.
That's really nice. And also... procrastination's back because Donald Trump had to push back the fake news awards to Wednesday.
What?
Yeah.
Which in itself
fake news. I'm really excited for the fake news
award. He did not want to compete against college football. So he pushed it back, and now it's going to be... he says it's drawn a lot more interest than they could have ever imagined. So I think they're going to like rent out an Olive Garden or something.
Not to echo what Donald Trump said, but... the fake news award is genius. Mm-hmm. Like that is a genius move.
Mm-hmm.
A fake news award show to basically shame people is absolutely
for
genius.
The fakest.
To call your enemies. Yeah. It's a roast of your enemies. That is a genius move.
Mm-hmm.
Just be like, here we go. I'm holding my own roast of my enemies.
I'll tell you what. If Donald Trump just got up if there was like instead of fireside chats, if he just did a Friday roast,
I'd fucking watch it every single Friday.
Ratings bananas,
unbelievable. I'd be all over it, and maybe did the Instagram model thing where you just put logos all over himself. Sponsored by the green tea that
sipping
gives you,
tea
that gives you diarrhea, and then you lose 10 pounds and you get that flat little tummy.
He's sipping his tea with both of his hands, cupped all the way around the cup.
All right, let's get to our interviews. We have Coach Brett Bielema, who, shout out to Hank's best friend, Dana Holgorsen, because Brett Bielema, I've had maybe some past where I've tweeted that pictures, unflattering pictures of him.
Mm-hmm.
But we, Coach Dana made Peacemaker, and I had beers with Bielema last month, and we kind of like, hey, you're a football guy, I'm a football guy.
Mm-hmm.
We both like to eat and drink, so we're not so different after all.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got Bielema, and then we have Andy Staples. Before we get to that, be a hero. You want to be a hero with DKMS. You can be. Every 3 minutes, someone in the U.S. is diagnosed with a blood disease, and every 9 minutes, someone dies. You can change that. Young men are the most desired donors, and 14,000 patients a year need a transplant in the U.S. from a total stranger who is their perfect genetic match. That match could be you. Go to DKMS.org to order your free swab kit. Swab your cheeks and return the kit to DKMS to get on the bone marrow registry and see if you are a match. If you get a call from DKMS, say yes. Your life will be changed forever while you are literally giving someone else a second chance at life. Text Barstool to 50555 for more info. This is a really great cause. Everyone do it. You got to be an organ donor. Are you an organ donor?
Yes.
Not just on the weekends?
Yes.
Text Barstool to 50555 for more info. Do that right now and help someone, help save a life. Okay, here we go. Coach Brett Bielema and Andy Staples. All right, we now welcome on former Arkansas Razorbacks head coach, former Wisconsin Badgers head coach, future fill in the blank. Go ahead. You can tell us where you're going next. You want to tell us?
I kind of let it play out. We're down here at the coaches' convention. Had a couple things pop up recently, but just kind of taking my time, figuring it all out, make that next step a great step.
Okay,
right.
So it's Brett Bielema. I was trying a little journalist trick there, see if he would just tell us, you know, give us the breaking news and say you're going to be the coach in waiting at Kansas State, right?
That is not the case.
Okay, okay, all right.
I've been approached.
That was another test.
Appreciate you.
Detroit Lions.
Yeah, that's another test. No, but we got Coach on. We got about 10 minutes with him here because we thought there's no one better to talk about the national championship game than someone who's faced Nick Saban, faced Kirby Smart's defenses. So let's start with that. How, this is a crazy question, but how do you beat Nick Saban?
Well, you know, the thing that, playing Bama, and I think especially this case this year, I played him the last 5 years. This year's team is probably the best all over, just offense, defense, and special teams. It's not like last year that defense was freaky. I mean, they had a couple guys, a couple backers inside that were as good as I've ever seen. And as long as their offense scored a couple touchdowns, they're going to win the game, you know. But this group, it's a very, very good unit in all three phases, but the key, I think, is going to be, you know, Georgia's rush offense is top 10 in the country. Got three running backs that are ridiculous. And it's going to be that Alabama defense and how well they stop that Georgia run game, I really believe, is going to be the tell of the story.
Mm-hmm. If you had to pick one guy on that Georgia rushing attack, who would you say is the bell cow? Who's the guy that you give the ball to fourth and short?
You know what? Either one of those senior running backs, I'm probably a little bit more to Sony, just because I think he's got a little bit more extra, you know what I mean? But even that freshman, I was number one, I believe. He has got some gifts in the open field, you know, but it's going to be – and I tell you what, when Georgia began to change the game last week, it was – we were there at ESPN Studios and just watching them physically take over the game up front offensive line-wise, and then their D-line on the flip side, really controlled the game in the second half against Oklahoma. So it's going to be interesting to see how that Georgia O-line handles that Alabama front.
When you go up against Nick Saban, is there one thing that you know he's going to do or take away from you guys?
He does. I think defensively their game plan is always to try to make you play left-handed. They always want you to, you know, take away what you do best. I think most coaches, but they do the extreme. But here's the deal about beating Bama. They've been there, done that so much that their kids don't flinch, you know. I think a lot of teams, you know, they're in big games and they're feeling great about situations, and then one of their kids will flinch. You know, might have a miscue here, a miscue there, a breakdown. Alabama just waits for that moment, and then they throat punch you. You know what I mean? They come in, and they're going to take advantage of it, not just tackle the guy from behind. They're going to hit the ball. It's going to go on the ground. They're going to scoop and score. They lead. I forget the stat, but I remember when we played them, they had something like 38 unconventional touchdowns, not offensive touchdowns, whether it be special teams or a defensive score. And that's kind of what separates them, in my opinion, than other people.
You brought up the coaches' room when you were, I guess, up at ESPN last week for the semifinal.
You're going to be on it again as well. Right, yeah. So everyone watch Coach. He's going to be on the coaches' room tonight, because this is going to be airing on Monday for the national title.
Yeah, I was wondering, what does that room smell like?
It's a they have a little studio. What was hilarious is I was in there with Patterson, who else? Dino Babers was in there. Uh-huh. Dana was in there. Dana Holgerson, Major, was in there. So it's kind of just like this big studio, and it really was like you're in a film session. It's kind of cool in that regards. They brought some pizza in, but I tell you what was long, man. We did both games there last week, and that little chair we were on was not – we needed to do that scene from a couch.
Do you think the adjustment for Georgia from going from a team like Oklahoma to a team like Alabama, because the one thing that struck me is Oklahoma's defense was just not disciplined all game and they were able to run wild. They're not going to be able to do that against Alabama. So what's that like going game to game where you're able to do something so successfully and in the next game you got to kind of reimagine how to do it?
Well, I do think, you know, these two teams are, of all the national championship games since they brought up the playoffs, you know, since we've had this format, these teams know each other as much as any team that's ever been in this situation. You know, so even though it's only been a week of preparation, you know, just because of the relationship that Nick and Kirby have, and you know, Jim Chaney, the OC that's at Georgia before he was there, he spent a little bit of Pitt, but he'd been here with me. There's a lot of crossover in these sidelines with the coaches, which I think is really going to the things you're talking about kind of really make it as minimum as there is, just because I think there's so much familiarity, and the players do as well, you know. So it's going to be a physical game. I don't know if you'll see a game of this magnitude be as physical as these two teams are going to make it. That's what they both pride themselves on. They're pretty clean as far – I tell you, the guy that's been amazing to me in this run here is the freshman quarterback from at Georgia. Just to be a freshman and to have the composure and the ability to make big plays and moments is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
How do you think Nick Saban's going to go after like a freshman like that, somebody who might not have that big game experience? He's going to dial – I always like to say dial something up. He's going to dial something up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. I really do think that, you know, the point of a freshman, you know, being at that level, and again, I've been very impressed with him, but it's still the big one. You know what I mean? And big lights, a lot of noise. I would expect that Alabama defense to be coming with some pressure. I think they'll do a lot of stuff that, you know, maybe try to get him out of the pocket to make him move around a little bit, just because he when he sits back there and he gets a little time. But again, I think they were like eighth or ninth in the country in rushing and like 110th in passing offense. So my guess is there's going to be a lot of bodies at the line of scrimmage try to throw the football.
What do you talk to Nick Saban about pregame when you're standing around the field watching everyone warm up?
You know, he's not a big talker, as you can imagine.
no shit.
It's a little bit different with some of the other guys, but he just doesn't. I don't know if he ever actually smiles. You know, he maybe give you a courtesy smile on the greeting, but he's pretty locked in. And you know, for me, you know, I'm a bigger guy, so I always try to crowd up on people, make them feel a little uncomfortable. You know, but he likes to keep his distance.
Is that a tactic? Like get that belly up on someone, just let them know that you're going to be in their kitchen today.
I appreciate the reference. I was thinking more on height, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a big guy too, so you know that.
All good.
So. Go ahead, PFT.
I was just going to say, what is the post-game handshake like with Saban? What do you guys say to each other?
You know, it's kind of been a little bit of – so my first year they beat us by 50, probably the worst thing I'd ever been a part of as a head coach. And the next year we actually lost by one. We lost 14-13. We had a field goal get blocked and a PAT miss. And really probably, you know, if things have gone a little bit different. Could have got one there, but as is the case, you know, they win by one, and it's that win. And I think that's when he began to respect what we did a little bit, you know. But he's a good person. I tell you, what's been fun for me is SEC meetings. You get around and you get to know these guys a little bit different. And Nick is a very he keeps to himself, but he wants the game to be great. You know, we got a great game. You guys know it. I don't know why our fans love it. And He does a lot of things, I think, that people don't realize, to try and make the game as possibly as best as it can for everybody.
Yeah, I believe that. Wrapping up, a couple quick questions. We talked about it. So when we met, this was like a don't meet the people that you might have like a different opinion about, because when we met through Coach Holgorsen, had a couple beers in Manhattan, I brought up, I was like, I'm still a little mad that you left Wisconsin. Do you have any regrets with how that all went down?
The only thing I regret is probably the way that I left. You know, I love Wisconsin. I gave him my first shot. I was D coordinator for two, head coach for seven, won three Big Ten championships, done a lot of great things. And just the kind of the way it all went down, I think there was, you know, obviously I left and it was my choice. And then, that, you know, people get mad and they get their frustrations. But Coach Alvarez and I have rekindled our friendship. Just talked to him a couple of days ago. Paul Chris and I are very close. I have several of my former players, Mickey Turner, obviously Jimmy Leonard was my free safety when I was D coordinator, guys on that staff. And as you know, that place is special, man. And that's probably the only thing. I took Arkansas. I wanted to do something, kind of a change up, do something I haven't done. I was freshly married, you know, and wanted to do something with my wife that was new and refreshing. So, a lot of great memories, and those things will never fade.
I think it was mostly because I always just envisioned you being at Wisconsin for like 20 years. So that was kind of like why the hurt came from, and the karma tweet. Did you ever bring up the karma tweet?
Oh, the one for my wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was one of those. As I don't know if you guys are married or not, but one thing you've learned is you don't correct your wife very often. So
yes.
Her intention wasn't that. She was.
You know, no, I mean, people get feelings on Twitter. I then tweeted karma sometimes back. So, you know, like that's what happens. That's the game we play.
All good.
Real quick, what was it like at Arkansas? Did Jerry Jones ever like poke his head around the program?
Yeah, actually quite a bit. It's kind of, you know, a very unique thing for me. So me growing up, I'm from Illinois, but dad was Bears fan. My brother was a Dolphins, so I was kind of a Cowboys fan. So it was kind of freaky the first time I met him, but yeah, they were unbelievable. They gave us a large chunk of change. We built a facility that was kind of half dining hall and half academics that his name's on. And actually, Steve and his son was around quite a bit. So we ended up recruiting Jerry's grandson. And so it was, you know, and we play one game a year. I don't know if you know that probably, but Arkansas plays one game a year every year in Jerry's world.
Mm-hmm.
Play every game once a year. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, he's a big fan. They're at a lot of games, quite a bit. They're big. I think three of his kids went to Arkansas, and he's got several grandchildren there, so they're Razorbacks through and through.
All right, last question. Why didn't you run John Clay Moore against TCU in the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you know, in that game, we had John Clay already had, like, I think our leading rush. No, John might have been our leading rush. He had 1,300. James White had like over 1,000, and Monty Ball finished the year with 998 yards. We should have had 3,000 yard rushers, but John Clay, when he really got rolling, you could actually like hear his pads kind of like clicking because he was running so hard. And about start of the fourth quarter, I was just like I said to Paul, man, I said these guys can't stop the run, man. And then that. Last play, you know, I was with Gary Patterson last week at that at the film room, and the same thing he said. You know, it was one of those games that I think if we would have just sent the ball up every time and never even thrown a pass, might have had that win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, Coach, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We'll love to have you back on when you are announced as the coach in waiting at Iowa. You're going home. You got the tattoo. You want to confirm that now?
No confirmation.
Okay.
You guys have a great one, man. Great to be on. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much, Coach. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And now for something completely different.
All right. We now welcome on Sports Illustrated senior writer Andy Staples. He covers college football for SI since 2008. Andy, let's start with this. Why is the Big Ten not represented in the national championship? Don't you think that's kind of bullshit?
No, I think the committee put their little heads together on December 3rd, and they said, we think Clemson's number one, and now we got to figure out who's going to play him, Alabama or Ohio State. Which of these teams actually has a chance to beat Clemson? And I'm sure, I know they're not supposed to think about what happened last year, but I'm sure the little 31-0 Fiesta Bowl crept into their minds a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sure getting waxed at Iowa crept into their minds a little bit, and they thought, well, you know, I think Alabama might have a better chance to beat Clemson.
Turns out they were right.
It's right. But do you think so really the question is, do you think the SEC fatigue is a real thing? Because
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, this feels like a lower rated, hyped up national championship than like there has been in a long time.
Oh, the ratings are going to suck. There's no question the ratings are going to suck. Because outside of this, you know, quarter of the country, people just don't care. And they're tired of hearing about the SEC beating its chest. They don't want that anymore. But here's the problem. They had an opportunity to have a national championship game with zero SEC teams in it. And Oklahoma and Clemson blew it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of on them.
Right.
I love it. I think it wouldn't matter to me if it was two Big Ten teams, two ACC teams, two SEC teams. I love everything about this playoff because it drives people insane.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't handle it.
People don't know how to deal with two teams from the same conference in the finals. You're right. It's
no, like, they can't possibly be the best two.
Right.
Because in 1933, they decided to get together and form a league.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they are in 2017 or 18 or whatever year it is.
I think you could say, what year is it, Hank? 2006, 7, 8? Is that what you said?
2016, 7, 8.
Yeah, Hank invented a year on the show. So we're just going to run with
excellent.
We're going to run with that. Who do you got? Let's put our cards on the table.
Oh, I picked Alabama to win 17-13, and I have absolutely zero confidence in that pick. I am always wrong on these things. If you go back to the last regular issue of Sports Illustrated, and you look on the cover, you will see me picking Clemson to win the national title.
Mm.
The Clemson team that Alabama just destroyed.
Do you have a football phone? Did they give you one of those?
I still have not gotten the football phone. I've not gotten a fleece. I have not gotten squat. I want the football phone.
That's messed up.
I really want the football phone. I've asked. Yeah. My 10-year anniversary tomorrow at SI.
Ooh,
they better be sending me a football.
Was it the diamond anniversary?
Wow,
they're probably. Yeah.
No, I think that's the paper anniversary. They send a wadded up piece of paper that says, "You're lucky you still have a job."
Yeah, they send you
shut up and get back to work.
They just send you an issue of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, yeah. They
exactly.
send no. They send you the extra the swimsuit with the extra foldout.
Ooh, yeah.
Little,
guy stuff.
Well,
guy
maybe
stuff.
Like one of the old school Kathy Ireland ones from when I was like in middle school.
Yeah. Ooh, a little throwback
for the memories.
Okay, I like that. So the Kirby Smart, whole the students becoming the teacher, he's beating Nick Saban, recruiting wise in the South. Do you buy this? Do you think Kirby Smart is going to be a big problem for Nick Saban going forward?
I think Kirby Smart's going to be a big problem for everybody. For the last 5 or 6 years, I've said Georgia is the best job in America, and the person who convinced me of that is Nick Saban.
Ooh.
You know, he always thought that Georgia was the best job in America. If you really got it rolling, because there's so much talent in the state. The state of Georgia produces more Power 5 type talent than the state of California, despite being much, much smaller in population. And it's more like Ohio in terms of recruiting, because Georgia Tech's not really your competition in recruiting. Your competition's like Alabama, Auburn, Florida State, Clemson. So you kind of own the state.
Mm-hmm.
And the state's big time when it comes to play. I mean, look at the draft last year. More players from Georgia got drafted than any other state.
Right.
So if you can get those dudes, you can kill people.
Right.
And I think Kirby's building a monster. Now, that's not going to stop Alabama from being good. It's not going to stop Clemson from being good. They're still getting good players. But, I mean, if Georgia actually performs up to its capability, they could be as dominant as Alabama is now.
That was like one long indictment on Mark Richt.
Pretty much. And I like Mark Richt, and I think he set him up nice, but his biggest mistake was he stopped calling plays, he stopped being very actively involved in the offense. All the things that he does now again at Miami, and oh well, look at that, Miami's better.
Right.
So if he'd have gotten back to that, he probably never would have gotten fired.
Well, we had your best friend Danny Cannell on the show last week, and
I love Danny.
He gave probably the shittiest power ranking of all time of all the coaches in the state of Florida. So I'll give you the opportunity to correct him. You went
okay.
to you played at the University of Florida.
Play is a relative term. I was a tackling dummy for the starting defense.
I'm going to count it.
I just got thrown around.
I'm going to count it. So with the caveat that you are definitely a Gator homer, and we should listen to you about that, power rank those
probably
Florida
not.
Head coaches.
All right. I'm going to go Rick number one right now because he's accomplished the most.
Okay.
And then now I got to pick. Now, are we talking just pure coaching ability, or are we talking what they can do at their respective universities?
Everything.
Because you've got to be able to do more at Florida and Florida State than you are at UCF and USF. So, all right. Well, the number two, I will go Willie Taggart, because – I don't think people understand how well Willie Taggart's going to be able to recruit in the state of Florida. That dude comes in with an FSU logo on his polo shirt.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be guys jumping to sign with him. So we'll put him number two. And don't forget, he inherits a loaded roster. I get that Florida State had a terrible year. They still have really good players.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of Cam Akers running in his offense, of DeAndre Francois coming back healthy and running his offense. They're going to be good. I'll put Dan Mullen number three, though I think he's pretty close to Willie. I think for a time there, he was the second-best coach in the SEC behind Saban. But the degree of difficulty at Mississippi State is obviously really high. What Mullen has to prove is, can he get those 4- and 5-star recruits? Because that was the biggest problem Florida had with Jim Mack. I know everybody thinks it was all play calling and stuff.
Well, and he fucked a shark.
Yeah, he humped that shark. Yeah.
Allegedly. He says he didn't.
Yeah.
But maybe
if you fucked a shark, would you admit it?
Yeah.
No.
Hey, listen, if you hold a press conference to say that you didn't fuck the shark, that means you fucked the shark.
Things took a hard left at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. The PETA people hate me enough for all the meat that I eat. I couldn't live through that. I mean, it would just be awful. So yeah, I deny. So I think if Mullen can prove he can get those guys, we know we can develop quarterbacks. We know we can unearth those diamonds in the rough. He'll be all right. Next up, Charlie Strong at USF. I love Charlie. he can get a ton of talent there, and they're going to keep being good.
Someone's then getting cucked right now. Okay, mm-hmm. There he is.
Then you got, yeah. got Lane, and I think Lane's a good coach. I still, you know, still can't let go of what happened at USC when he had the Cadillac job, the great roster, yeah. and they went to the frickin' Sun Bowl.
Yeah.
I can't let go of that.
Yeah. But well, Southern California, a lot of things to distract you.
A lot of people, a lot of nice looking people walking around.
Yeah, right.
What do you think of that? A lot of nice looking people in
yeah.
Boca.
Yeah, true.
What do you think about that dynamic between Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban, where like he's needling Nick like on a daily basis now in the national media? Do you think that Nick pays attention to that stuff?
No, I don't even think he knows about it.
Really?
He doesn't care. Now Saban actually does have a pretty good sense of humor.
That's
so
a lie.
A couple of those things he might like when Lane's referencing all the rat poison stuff.
Uh-huh.
But most of the time, Nick Saban is not paying any attention to anything Lane Kiffin does on social media.
Oh, when Lane's
but we are.
Yeah. Yeah. What about when Lane's like, I text his wife all the time?
Miss Terry is nothing. He ain't got nothing to worry about. Miss Terry is ride or die.
Okay, but so the last person you want texting your wife is Lane Kiffin.
Absolutely. Miss Terry's smarter than that. Come on.
I'm just saying. Back to the game real quick. I have a take I'm squatting on. I think Jalen Hurts sucks, and he is going to do in the Alabama. Because their offense actually was not good against Clemson's defense, really, really good. But if they play offensively like they did against Clemson, I think they lose this game.
I think you're right. I think now if he hits the wide-open Calvin Ridley on the throwback pass, that type of offensive performance will be enough to beat Georgia. If they have a similar defensive performance,
right,
and that's a big if. They've not been able to pressure the quarterback much this year. They used to do it. They did it a ton last year, hadn't done it much this year, and all of a sudden against Clemson, they're killing Kelly Bryant every play. And so they get five sacks in that game. If they have a five-sack game tomorrow night, Monday night, whatever night this is, I know we unstick in time in podcast,
mm-hmm.
but if they have a five-sack game against Alabama, or against Georgia, they're going to win that game.
Okay,
but I do agree with you. If Jalen Hurts can't be more accurate, can't hit the things that are open when they dial up a good play, they're going to have problems because both these offenses play into the defense's hands. The defenses are identical. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban taught it to Kirby Smart, and Kirby Smart runs it. And Jeremy Pruitt also recruited half of Georgia's defensive players. So everybody knows everybody. And so, yeah, he's got to hit the things that are open because I think Jake Fromm, the true freshman quarterback at Georgia, is going to be able to hit that stuff as long as he's not on his back. If you watch him in a Rose Bowl, that dude isn't fazed by anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's a fun joke. You can say Jake Fromm State Farm. Ooh. It's a fun joke that everybody's been saying.
On his Twitter handle.
Ooh, that's good. Who's your favorite quarterback in the draft coming out of college?
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah?
Yep.
I take Baker Mayfield over any of them. I was the same way with Deshaun Watson last year. I went nuts last year watching the draft. Like it drove me insane that people are trading up to take Mitch Trubisky.
Whoa,
Watson is sitting there.
Mitch is good.
I know.
Mitchell.
I know he's good.
Okay.
I know he's good.
Deshaun had weapons. Also, guess who played more games this year? Trubisky or Watson?
Well, if somebody could block for Deshaun Watson, he'd have played more games.
Best ability is availability. Mitchell Trubisky can get out there every single week and lose. Not a problem.
But no, I'll take Baker because that dude, he operates as quick as the good NFL quarterbacks when you watch him on the guys you watch on Sunday. You've got to be able to improvise a little bit. You've also got to just, I don't know, you got to have some dog in you, and he seems to have that. I don't know about that with Rosen. I think Darnold probably has that too.
Rosen's too smart. That's what Danny Cannell said.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Rosen's
his mind's going to get
him. Smarter than Danny Cannell, we know that. Yeah.
Well, Rosen's like a little Jack Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you can't leave him alone.
I look forward to doing radio shows with Rosen after I get done doing radio shows with Cannell. So.
What about Lamar Jackson? People just kind of sleep on Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to be a good quarterback.
I like Lamar.
Yeah.
I think Lamar is going to get them salivating when they see him at the combine because his arm strength is probably better than all these other guys. Maybe him and Josh Allen are kind of close, but Lamar with a flick of the wrist can fire a ball 50 yards down the field, and he has elite speed. So his skill set is actually kind of similar to Michael Vick's, but it's
Blake
funny
Bortles.
Because other than Josh Allen, he's the only other one who's run in kind of a pro style offense. Because, well, I guess Rosen did a little bit with Jed Fish at UCLA this last year, but You know, Bobby Petrino was the head coach of the Falcons. Obviously, he adjusted things when Lamar was a freshman to kind of simplify things. But, you know, they were running an offense that doesn't look that different than what you see on Sundays when he was a junior. And I think he kind of improved as a junior. It's just that the talent around him wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, he might actually have better blockers than he had at Louisville.
Good point. For Georgia, they've got kind of the three-headed monster in the backfield. We like to figure out whose man's it is for NBA teams. Who's the alpha?
Yeah.
Who's taking the last shot? Whose man's is the backfield in Georgia? If you're taking just one of those
Sony
guys.
Sony Michel.
Okay.
Sony Michel.
Okay.
And
Bielema agreed.
Game, yeah, in this game, because he's a different skill set. And you actually saw it on the last play against Oklahoma. But there are very few backs in America who could get the corner against Alabama's defense. Sony Michel is one of those people. So if the tight ends and the tackles can block, mm-hmm. and he can get outside, he can actually do some damage running the ball against Alabama's defense, and hardly anybody ever does that.
Good point. Okay. On to some real solid college football talk here. You are a big fan of eating. You love food.
Yes, I am.
What is the best place to eat in the Atlanta airport?
The best place to eat in the Atlanta airport is... Everybody says One Flew South, which is kind of a generic sushi bar.
Everyone says
in
it, yeah.
E.
Yeah.
I don't agree. I think maybe like a Grindhouse Burger, that's in D. Or, look, Chick-fil-A started in Atlanta, so uh-huh. that's an Atlanta place. And
not
there's
open
there's one in A and one in C. Yeah. Not open on Sunday.
People forget.
I've come off a red
not ready for the pros.
Yeah. On a Monday at 6 a.m. and just walked into Chick-fil-A. Oh, and let's not forget, there's a Popeyes in D.
Oh, my God.
That's critical.
Yep.
There's also Popeyes in A.
If you can't tell, Andy's
a Popeyes. Which is the best Popeyes, the one in A or D?
The one in D.
Yeah, the one in A is trash.
Fresher. I don't know. I don't know why.
More sauce options. If you can't tell, Andy's a big eater yet. So I need you to confirm or deny this story. You once went out to dinner. I don't know who was there. I'm not going to name names. But mm-hmm. It was maybe a pizza dinner and then uh-huh. An Italian dinner, whatever, big, big meal. They came around uh-huh. after the food was done and said, anyone want some after dinner drinks, maybe some Frangelico, maybe something like that uh-huh. to, you know, ease the digestion. And you said, I'd like actually some potatoes, some after dinner
pizza potatoes.
Yes.
It's a trend that's going to take over the country. This is the new hot dining trend.
Jesus
no,
Christ.
I know who told you that, too. No names will be named.
No names.
But here's what happened. I ordered the potatoes to come out before the pizza. The waitress forgot, but I wanted my damn potatoes.
Mm,
so we'd already finished
it.
The pizza, and I still wanted the potatoes.
Bonus potatoes.
We had post pizza potatoes.
Mm. Now, are these just roasted potatoes? Are they fries? What like style
were,
of potato are we talking about?
They were roasted with a little rosemary, salt, and pepper.
Okay.
They're excellent. I mean, a great post-dinner. What's that called? It's not an aperitif.
Digestif.
What your brandy is. When you get your Courvoisier after dinner. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, a cordial.
I like to eat soup after dinner because it fills in all the cracks.
Yeah. And you like to eat it before, too.
Yeah, I just like soup.
And soup for dinner.
You a soup fan, Eddie?
Yeah.
I love soup. Okay. There's a place in Chicago called Soup Box.
Oh, yeah.
They serve soup and bread.
Yeah, got like 100 kinds of soup.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right, last question. It's a SeatGeek question. You can download the SeatGeek app right now. Put in promo code TAKE for $10 off. Andy, do you have the SeatGeek? This isn't the question, but do you have the SeatGeek app?
I believe I do.
Okay, there you go. Put in the promo code TAKE. You get $10 off your SeatGeek purchase. I'm a Wisconsin fan. I want you to tell me that Wisconsin will someday win a national title. I'm 32, going to be 33 in 4 weeks, and I'm about 35 pounds overweight, but currently on a diet. Will they win a national title in my lifetime?
Yes, because you are a beautiful people.
Whoa.
Okay.
You love beer. You love cheese. You love sausage.
Mm.
You are the best kind of people. You love offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing.
Fullbacks.
Really.
What about guys
no
who can maybe
people.
Run fast?
No.
Oh, they don't run that fast.
No, yeah, that hurts us sometimes.
Yeah, what are you running away from?
Yeah.
No.
Face your problem.
The other team runs fast.
They keep going.
Yeah.
But no, absolutely. No. Listen, I will bet anybody. A scrambler at Mickey's Dairy Bar right across the street from Camp Randall.
Yep.
Wisconsin will win a national title in your lifetime. It will happen.
Wow.
In what sport?
Football.
Basketball.
Okay, yeah, basketball.
I actually think football, better chance probably. But because basketball is a light, real
yeah, you may have blown your chance at basketball.
Yes. Oh, I know.
Decker team.
Thanks. Oh, last question. When are we going to 8 teams in the college football playoffs?
There's 8 more years of this TV contract right after that.
Are you serious? We have to wait 8 years?
Come on, Andy.
I'm not going to be alive.
I know. Well, you heard what I eat. Neither am I. But
that sucks.
That's the way it's going to go. Because the old guard, the old guys, are going to try to keep the Rose Bowl relevant. They're going to try to keep the bowls in the mix. When they go to 8, they'll get rid of the bowls. So once they do that, you got to take them out. And you're going to need a new generation of commissioners to do that. I think in 8 years you'll have that.
Well, I'd like to just throw my hat in the ring right now for that position.
We'll just make the Rose Bowl National Championship every year. And that would be great.
We'll just have fake bowl games.
As Big Ten commissioner, I'm in.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Ooh. So am I.
Yeah.
Every game is played in Purdue.
West Lafayette is the football capital of the universe.
Yes, absolutely. Beautiful. All right, Andy Staples, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have fun at the championship game, and hopefully your prediction, 17-13, Alabama, comes true.
I'm going to go yell at that person who told you about post pizza potatoes now.
Okay. There we go.
That interview was brought to you by MyBookie. The NFL playoffs are finally here, and I want to tell you guys about MyBookie.ag, the number one rated online sportsbook. With your fantasy football season over, the only way to use your sports knowledge to win cash is by betting at MyBookie, the sportsbook that makes it easy to deposit and even easier to cash out your winnings fast. They've got odds on everything. They've got live betting and an all-new prop builder. You can create your own bet slips, then bet however you want. You bet your friends LeBron will score 30-plus and have 10-plus assists.
Sheesh!
Why not bet it at MyBookie and put your money where your mouth is? Bet from your desktop, tablet, or on their world-class mobile site that lets you bet anytime, anywhere. MyBookie offers fastest, no-hassle payouts when you win. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Just use promo code PMT when making your account. Visit MyBookie.ag today, promo code PMT. Bet on the Internet's favorite sportsbook where you play, you win, and you get paid.
All right, let's get to some segments. Do you have a little too much vino this weekend?
Sheesh. Had some robust reds on Saturday.
I'm still addicted to the sheesh, but I'm worried that we have to ration our sheeshes out.
Yeah, so I found myself
I think
just,
we just hit the gas. And
you think we
dead.
Go as far hard as we can?
Yeah.
It's going to die soon.
We Harambe the shit out of this.
Okay, so sheesh.
Yeah.
Okay.
This sheesh.
It's I had a moment on Saturday where I said it like 3 times in a row. I was like, okay, you got to like have a little inner dialogue with it. All right. Dan, like, mm-hmm. Don't stop with the sheeshes.
No.
Too many sheeshes.
Don't listen to yourself.
And then your
too
other side was like, sheesh.
Sheesh. What the fuck's your problem?
Dude, I'm all about that sheesh life. I am not giving it up for at least another week.
Yeah, that's the best part is when people, because you always, whenever you have a joke like that, you don't want to be the guy who's making the last guy to make the joke,
yeah.
But you also don't want to be the asshole who's like, sheesh has run its course, like, mm-hmm. 2 minutes after we started joking about it.
Because then you get crying Jordan.
Yeah, just
it's
find
like the people
it in
that
the
try to make that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so at some point this week, sheesh will die.
Just embrace the sheesh.
Yeah, let it die.
Dead.
Yeah, let it die.
Yeah, lean into it. Here's the thing about sheesh.
You can't. We tell it we can pull back, and then we can make it draw out. Like, we just got to
We got to sheesh out. Yeah. So here's how it works. You say sheesh, and then somebody that you're out with is like, hey, why do you keep saying sheesh? It sounds kind of stupid. And then you're like, well, it's kind of this dumb thing that LeBron James says. And then they're like, oh, that sounds kind of dumb. But then they start saying, they're like, this is really fun to sheesh.
Yeah, sheesh. Yeah. You just sheesh him.
Yeah, you just it's pay it forward with sheeshing.
Sheesh.
Pyramid scheme of sheeshing.
If you can find 3 friends to sheesh, mm-hmm. and they can find 3 friends, we'll all be sheeshing.
We'll all be speaking the same language. Imagine how much greater the world would be, and how much more harmony there would be if the only thing we just said to each other was sheesh.
Yeah, if Kim Jong-un and President Trump were like, you got a nuke? Sheesh.
Just sit down.
Yeah, I got a nuke. Sheesh.
Have a
night. That was it. They were like, all right, we won't fire these nukes. Sheesh.
Split a bottle of Pinot Noir. Get wild with it.
Vino Chronicles,
Vino
baby.
Life.
All right, first up, we have a not to brag, but we called it. The Patriots are crumbling. The dynasty is over.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the fact that Tom Brady is a 40-year-old quarterback and Bill Belichick 65. That they probably could have played for 20 more years, right?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah,
it's
it was
because
at
of
the
Alex
peak.
Guerrero.
You know what? The Patriots are always going to be what could have been dynasty. Like, do they count as a dynasty?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you
left
have to,
some on the table.
They did. Yeah, they walked away. It's like a major Kobe Shaq thing.
So Hank, so the big expose on the Patriots' inner workings and the strife at Foxborough came out on Friday morning. It was funny because it was almost like an "oh, you think" article where everyone's mm-hmm. like, "Okay, well, so you mean like 3 guys who have had crazy success over 17 years probably have egos and probably don't get along all the time and their window's closing because one of them's 40 and quarterbacks age at 40.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, it was juicy as fuck. And I loved reading it.
I loved it. I loved every second of it.
There was a lot of fake news in there, but like the fundamental, it makes sense what the guy was trying to
now,
get across.
If, he, like, if you were on
but
that team,
he sprinkled in like some serious fake news.
The Josh McDaniels line about Josh McDaniels getting yelled at by Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels' father being in attendance was hilarious.
His dad heard
like, he injured Chris Hogan on purpose.
What editor read that back and was like, "Yeah, let's go with that." Where like a fucking grown man is embarrassed because his father was there.
This is where Hank, where his inner Twitter Tom Brady 12 avatar comes out because
fanboy.
Yeah, the article. Yeah, Dan was.
Dan Shaughnessy.
Dan Shaughnessy would not be happy with you.
What was like, the hashtag?
You will never be taken seriously ever again.
That's what I'm slapping on you right now, because the Hogan thing was just an example of like a bad throw that he made. It wasn't that he was like trying to hurt Hogan on purpose. If he was trying to hurt him on purpose and got him hurt, I would say that that means he's a really fucking good quarterback if you can intentionally get your receiver hurt.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part was how Jimmy Garoppolo showed up to the TB12 Center and they just locked the door on him and like they pulled the blinds down shut, turned off all the lights, and they're like, everybody shut up.
I do totally think that Bill Belichick was ready to go to Jimmy Garoppolo this offseason. I absolutely do.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense because like even if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, Belichick's one mark is that he always gets rid of guys before they start to decline.
Mm-hmm. But he was probably mad, but it's not going to affect him going into the playoffs.
No,
like
of
I'm sure
not.
Belichick probably told Brady like I was probably ready to go to Garoppolo, and Brady was like, I don't want you to.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where the media is going to make, and I think the media has every right to do it, but it probably won't have any like impact on the guys in the locker.
In fact, I think it'll probably make the Patriots better.
Yeah, they'll probably be
it
more
sucks.
Angry.
It sucks. Yeah. They're going to win another
put on a 50 burger.
They're
going to
win
Titans.
Another Super Bowl, and then they're going to be like, nobody believed in us. It's going to suck. And then Tom Brady's going to play for another 5 years.
Yeah, they're going to fucking do the nobody believed in us.
Then Hank's going to walk around just rubbing my face in it all the time. It's going to suck.
You are not Tom, and he does not need your help.
Oh, hashtag.
It's trending.
How is that hashtag looking now? Have there been any updates on
there? I think there's two. There was two when we checked on it. Is it trending? Is it going viral?
Nope. Still two.
We get it viral on PFT's mentions.
Yeah, we'll get it viral.
Everyone tweeted. It would be real shame if people tweeted that at PFT.
Real shame.
The other not to brag we called is actually not to brag. Everyone called it. LeVar Ball is breaking up the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So he came out and said that Luke Walton's too young to coach and has lost the control of the team. And then Lonzo basically gave like a non-answer when addressed with it. So I think everyone called this. LeVar Ball was eventually going to have a problem with whoever was coaching Lonzo and make everything super awkward in LA.
I'm really excited to see how badly he can screw it up, though. Because Luke Walton seems like a guy that won't take any shit.
Yeah.
So I wonder if like Luke kind of has to challenge him to a fight, right?
Mm-hmm. That's That'd be way. Great.
Ooh, meet me in Temecula.
Ooh.
Maybe they should meet in Temecula.
I really just hope.
By the way, genius idea. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Donald Trump. We should do a rough and rowdy in Temecula.
Ooh, that would
where it's
be
just
great.
People from San Diego.
Yeah, no, it's just
and
people
LA
who have Twitter beefs.
Yeah, Twitter beefs.
Yeah. Twitter
meet
beefs on blast.
Okay, nobody's
like
out there steal
Twitter,
this idea. This is my
idea.
Do
not steal this. I think this is going to end up at some point. We hopefully will have LeVar Ball coaching the Lakers. I feel like if he just wears them down and just complains about every single coach, they're just going to be like, you know what, you fucking do it.
Luke Walton, if he was smart, he would make an offer to him to become an employee. Like, give him just some bullshit title.
Mm-hmm. Just start wearing big baller brands.
Vice president.
Like, I'm a big baller.
Yeah, vice president of being a big baller at the LA Lakers.
Right, exactly.
LeVar Ball, XFL coach. What do you think about that?
Yes.
People forget he played on the Panthers.
Yes.
Practice squad.
Yes. Yeah. He was yoked. Did you see that picture of him back in the day?
Yeah, that guy would have been on some fitness tea.
Yeah, that's definitely a picture I would like have as my avatar if I looked like that at any point in my life.
Over under 5.5 months, we get a picture of O.J. Simpson with LeVar Ball.
Under.
Under, yeah, it's got to be under.
Strong under.
That's, 5.5 was
strong
that's a,
under.
It's a long time for those two to stay away from each
other.
There's
a lot going on. we have the Groomers finale. John Gruden has officially agreed to coach the Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders. $10 million a year for 10 years.
It's unbelievable.
Whew.
Sheesh. That is a contract that Al Davis would not have even given out.
That, well, no. Come on.
He'd have to be faster.
Yeah, Al Davis would give that contract out and then fire John Gruden after a year and then sue him for the money back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'd fire and give a press conference with like an overhead projector just circling all the ways that he was bad.
While his like skin fell off, his melted off his face.
Yeah. It's a real treat.
This is such a classic, like we need to sell tickets in Las Vegas because what does everyone think like John Gruden like as a coach? Like he
won a Super Bowl.
Tennessee.
He won a Super Bowl, but what about Tennessee?
that
like, oh he him coaching Tennessee
just that rumor of yeah. him coaching Tennessee like helped him
I'm just sad because show. Now what are groomers now are groomers that he'd go back to broadcasting
back
game?
To the booth yeah.
yeah so I guess that will be the new groomers but yeah. it sucks because groomers was like an integral part of every NFL offseason.
I think it's something tells me groomers will be back next year.
Okay,
groomers yeah. is who's going to replace groomer in the booth.
Ooh, yeah. yeah so I think it should be Peyton. Peyton Manning.
It's his job. It's his job if he wants. I think it's actually going to be Hasselbeck.
Oh no! Which yeah. one?
Well,
both.
Yeah, twins. But they're not.
Guys love twins.
But no, I think it's going to be him. Because what? Like they're kind of stuck. Either that or Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler would be a dream.
Lewis Riddick.
Yeah, that could work. But I think. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be Hasselbeck. And bonus, if they bring Hasselbeck up to the booth, they got to blow up. Sunday countdown, that would be a real shame.
Real shame.
They had to rechange the whole thing.
Real shame.
And just shuffle just around, somebody new. Move some people out, move yeah. some people in, that whole
yeah.
thing.
Real shame.
We have a Respect the Biz. This is for a announcer of the Syracuse Notre Dame basketball game. Syracuse alum and ESPN play-by-play announcer Mike Cousins proposed to his girlfriend after Syracuse lost to Notre Dame on Saturday.
So you can't do that after a loss.
No.
That's number one.
No.
Number two, so this guy did it like at the arena, right?
Yeah.
Like on the court, mm-hmm. basically. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to the game. Most importantly, it's disrespectful to the profession of sports writing and sports announcing, which is just chock-filled with virgins.
Yes.
And you're just spiking the ball, and I'm being like, I get to have sex
yeah,
now.
Yeah, wow, look at me. This is also the most Syracuse, like, journalist school thing ever. It's basically, I'm surprised this hasn't happened already. Ravel is sitting somewhere, like, pounding his fist on the table, like, damn it, I should have proposed to my wife after a Northwestern mm-hmm. lost, you know, to Wisconsin in Evanston.
Yeah. Hey, talk about how whether or not you'd get married to me.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
that how he proposed?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, why don't you talk about it? How'd you think it went out there today
yeah.
when I proposed to you?
Yeah.
we have a Kings Stay Kings to finish the show. Jeff Triplett is retiring. Referee Jeff Triplett. If you're not a football guy, you probably are like, who's that?
But
every real football guy needs to know all the names of all the refs.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff Triplett, you probably remember him for any kind of, he had like a million fuck-ups. He also was a guy who, remember, he threw the flag in the Browns player's eye.
Mm-hmm.
And he fucked up the Chiefs-Titans games a million different ways and then said, guess what? That I just painted my masterpiece.
It was
I'm
beautiful.
Walking away.
It was beautiful. Calling forward progress on a sack is his Mona Lisa. That is a fuck up that I could not even conceive
oh my
of making.
God.
And he made it. You cannot design a more Jeff Triplett call than calling forward progress on a sack.
This is Peyton just, Manning winning does, a Super Bowl and walking off into the sunset.
This is exactly
this is
what it
is.
The
is
only
is
way
the Super Bowl.
it could have gone worse if, like, as he was announcing the penalty, or as he was announcing a penalty, or his explanation for that call, he had like his phone Bluetooth still hooked up to like the microphone and started playing porn.
Yeah,
that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But besides that, I mean, this is pretty good. I'll take it.
Let's get Jeff Triplett back in the maybe get him on Mike Carey's old job on CBS.
Oh yeah,
that's too bad.
They should just send him to New York and have him do the Al Riveron job, and then just go the opposite of whatever Triplett said. You know what I'm really gonna miss is him and Philip Rivers just like staring at each other, not really understanding what the hell the other's doing. Those two, they were like the perfect odd
couple.
It's like
an alien landing on Earth.
Yeah,
they were like, who are you?
He would fuck up a lot of Philip Rivers calls, and then Philip Rivers would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, man, come on, man.
God damn it. We just put six on him.
Yeah.
You took the six off.
All right, that's our show. We have The Bus. The Bus
yes.
stops in Pardon My Take Studios on Wednesday. Jerome Bettis, great interview with him. We also left you guys a little treat at the end of this show, a little pump up for the college football national championship where Nick Saban, is he going to get his packet?
He gets his mayonnaise packet of Vaseline out and just lubes up the old hog and just goes to town on himself. One day of pleasure a year.
So get excited for that. Here
and
comes.
And then he's mad because while he's cleaning up his spewge, that's time he could be recruited.
Yeah, he needs to be
There's
on the phone.
There's got to be more efficient
probably
way.
An assistant probably holds a phone to his ear while he does
uh-huh.
it. I
was going to say just holds
it. Problematic.
His assistant holds the Kleenex.
Yes. So that is our show. And like I said, here comes a little natty title preview.
Love you guys.
College Football Monday. Monday night. These two teams hate each other. Kirby Smart and the Dogs.
Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide.
Coach Saban has killed too many hobos to lose this game.
Folks, this one is going to be a bloodbath.
Kirby Smart. Can you believe his name's Kirby?
Nick Saban. Wow, this guy's pissed off.
Here's a guy hitting another guy. College football lives here.
This music gets my blood going. This sounds like... It's 30 Seconds to Mars, but what are they, a Fallout Boy cover band?
If you live in the North, the Midwest, or the West, suck this SEC dick.
Just deep throat the South, baby. Open wide and swallow a whole load of houndstooth.
If that's not enough SEC for you, we have 28 different simulcasts going on at the same time.
All the SEC coaches that aren't coaching in this title game are going to be sitting in a room talking about the South.
Ooh, Bill Walton. Haven't heard from him enough. He's going to have a bong and watch this game linked up to a Pink Floyd album.
Folks, these two teams don't like each other very much.
Oh shit, that's another hit. Wow.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.